All right, so we're tuning in. One final week. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been working on a little mini-series together called Getting in Tune with God. And once you get in tune with God, you want to stay in tune with God. How do you do that? Well, we talked in week one about the importance of walking by the Spirit. In other words, when you accept the Lord into your life and you're forgiven by God and the Holy Spirit comes into your life to indwell you, the life of every believer, you learn to live with God in your life, to obey the Lord, to agree with God, and to get in step, to get in cadence with the Spirit of God in your life. And that's what walking by the Spirit's all about. And it's a lot easier to be in tune with God in your life when you're going the same direction that He wants to guide you, not only in the long haul and the big goals of life, but in just all the little things of our daily life. That's what walking by the Spirit's all about. Now, we also talked about the importance in tuning in with God by listening to His voice, listening to His voice. And we have a very personal God. He wants to know us in an intimate way, and He created us to know us, and He wants us to know Him well also. So God's more than a philosophy. He's more than a principle. He's more than just a set of laws, and we love the Ten Commandments He's given us, but there's so much more about Him we can receive from Him. And so as we hear His voice, He speaks wonderful words to us from His Word, through His Holy Spirit, and also at special times of revelation in our lives. Now, today, I want to kind of just tie up this package on being in tune with God by talking about the importance of faith. And so this morning, I'm calling the faith frequency, the faith frequency, how to get tuned into the right frequency with God, and it's by living by faith. So if you have a Bible with you or maybe an app on your phone or a tablet, you can open your Bible or turn it on to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews today, chapter 11. Now, this is often called the faith chapter of the Bible in the book of Hebrews, but really it starts talking about faith back much earlier in Hebrews, and certainly by the middle of chapter 10, it's going all out. But this morning, we want to begin, if you're using your notes, by giving a spiritual definition to that word faith. And when I was a little kid, I used to hear a lot growing up in church, do you believe in the faith? And do you live by faith? And what's your faith? And that word faith was just kind of floating around out there for me. And so I think Hebrews 11:1 really lets us know what God means by this topic of faith. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so our text today is going to relate for us that we can trust in our God. We can trust in our God. And any healthy relationship is built on trust, isn't it? That God is who He says He is, and that He will be there for us. He will protect and help us through life. He will provide for us and guide us. God will do so many things if we will simply trust Him. And that brings us today to our text, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So God calls us, He urges us, He commands us to have a confidence in Him. First, that He is God, the eternal, all-powerful one over all. And secondly, that He will bless those who believe Him to be God. Now, the text also tells us it's the only appropriate way to live before Him in life, to take Him at His word and to believe that He's real and that all He says is true. So this morning, I thought we would just spend our time talking about five components of faith in the life of the believer. And all of this kind of presupposes that you've come to the place in your life where you have come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've invited Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sins and to give your life to him. And at the end of our message today, I'll be giving you an opportunity to do that just right from where you're seated. You can just talk to the Lord and accept him into your life if you've never done that. So listen to the message this morning if you're not sure where you stand with God. But you see, for those of us who do know the Lord Jesus today, and we've received Jesus into our life, there are these five components Scripture describes for us that are to be facets, if you will, of our faith or our trust in God. And so you could kind of look at this sort of like maybe a little diagnostic tool this morning as we go through these five elements and say, well, where am I with God on this topic of faith? If Scripture says, which it does, we just read it together a minute ago, right? Hebrews 11:6, if Scripture says that I need to have faith in him in order for him to be pleased in our relationship, doesn't mean he won't love you, doesn't mean he won't care for you, but to have a healthy relationship, in other words, with God, you must have faith in him. How does my faith look today? How can I get an objective viewpoint or vantage point on how my faith is doing? So here we go. First, I think Scripture is very clear to us that faith lives like you mean it. It lives like you mean it. And that's the first thought today if you're using your note sheet that was in the program. In other words, faith is following. It's following Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that Jesus repeatedly said to those he encountered, follow me, follow me, follow me. And so faith in the Lord is not just mental assent. In other words, it's not just saying, oh yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. But it's a, oh yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. And that means I need to pursue him in life. It's a belief that has action attached to it. And that means it lives like you mean it. Hebrews 10:38, if we go back just a chapter, in chapter 10, verse 38, it says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. Now, that's quite a statement from God to us, isn't it? That faith is to be literally the crazy glue that sticks us and holds us to Jesus. Our confidence, our trust in him. And this same statement, my righteous one shall live by faith, is repeated four times in the Bible. First in Habakkuk 2, verse 4 in the Old Testament. Again in Romans 1:17, and then in Galatians 3:11, as well as here in Hebrews 10:38. And it continues now in our text in Hebrews, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So, faith is to demonstrate in our lifestyle. And the faithless life shows as well in our lifestyle. So how we live makes a statement before others about whether we really believe in the Lord Jesus. And in fact, it makes a statement to ourselves about whether we really believe in the Lord Jesus. So today, if you say, well, I believe in the Lord, I have faith in him, Mark, I'd say, well, take a quick peek at your life, and I mean, don't be too rough on yourself. You know, we're all struggling. We're all working forward with the Lord. He has a lot of grace in our lives, a lot of forgiveness. But, you know, your life should be getting different from the way it was before you came to believe in him, because he's offering you a life that's new. Now, faith demonstrates itself in our lifestyle, and it lives like you mean it. Pastor Chuck Swindoll, well-known minister over the years, still on the radio. You can hear him here in the Valley every day of the week. It's on the radio. He said this, quote, God is just waiting for us to trust him. Isn't that great? God is just waiting for us to trust him. This is the means by which God reveals himself more fully to us, is when we believe in him. Well, faith not only lives like you mean it, it also depends It depends on the truth. In other words, faith is knowing. Faith is following, and now we see that faith is knowing. In other words, when you believe in Jesus, your confidence redirects away from what you can control, away from what you can see in the world around you, away from the circumstances you're involved in, and it goes on to the all-powerful, invisible God who can do all things. This brings us to our little takeout verse of the week. It's on a card in the lobby for you. I hope you pick one up. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I just love this statement. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, for some of us today, that's a little reminder we need, and you're done. You're done. That's your message today. For some of us today, we just need to be reminded that this is a faith venture we're in with the Lord. In other words, remember Doubting Thomas in the Bible? He was the guy who always used to say, he was the one out of the 12 disciples who used to always say, prove it to me, prove it to me, prove it to me. I mean, I think the other disciples might have started rolling their eyes up into their head after all. Come on, Thomas, get with the program. And even after Jesus rose from the dead, remember what Thomas did? I'm not going to believe it till I put my fingers into his wounds and his hands and put my hand in his spirit inside. And what did Jesus say to Thomas? Go ahead. And then after Thomas did it, he says, oh, now I believe. And Jesus said what? He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So Jesus was saying to Thomas, step up, Thomas. What's it going to take? You've seen me still the sea. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen me give sight to the blind. You've heard the ways of God come from my lips time and time again. What's it going to take until you finally just trust me? And so faith depends on the truth. You know, it's interesting to note that at least two times in Scripture we find in the gospel accounts that Jesus was amazed by faith or lack of it himself. And you say, can God be surprised? Yeah, because Jesus was surprised. We, on this topic of faith, at least two occurrences. First, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus was back in his hometown. And it says that he was amazed at the lack of faith of the people in his hometown. How much they struggled in believing him to be the very Son of God. And so he did very few miracles there as a result. And then conversely, we see in Luke chapter 7 that Jesus was amazed by how much faith a Roman centurion, a Gentile, had in him. Remember, this high-ranking Roman soldier who had so many under his charge had a particular slave, a servant who was very special to him. And this slave had become quite ill and he was going to die. And so the centurion sent some Jewish elders ahead to go and plead with Jesus to please come and heal his servant. And so Jesus went. And before Jesus even got to the front yard, the centurion sent some other friends out on the road to meet Jesus before he arrived at the house. And they said, the centurion said, don't even come into the house, for I'm not worthy, Lord Jesus, to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I know I'm a man under authority, and I have those in authority under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, he comes. So just say the word. And what did Jesus do? It says Jesus was amazed by how much faith this centurion had. And he said, never have I found such a great faith in all of Israel. So faith is a very important thing. And even as we come to believe and we live believing in Jesus, we are to place our confidence into him as we move forward in life. Okay, so there's a wonderful professor, Bible teacher. He taught at Dallas Theological Seminary for 50 years, and his name was Howard Hendricks. He just went home to be with the Lord in 2013. I remember years ago, I was working for Billy Graham Center in Wheaton, Illinois, doing my master's program, and one of my jobs was to go pick up Howard Hendricks at Chicago O'Hare Airport, bring him back for a conference he was doing at Billy Graham Center. And so I went to pick up Howard. Well, I was the wrong guy to send because I can get lost anywhere. I can get lost in the parking lot. And I picked up Howard for the conference, really nice guy, got him in the car, found the car in my parking lot, got him in the car. But I got lost going back to Wheaton. And, you know, pretty soon Howard says, "Where are we?" And I said, "Don't worry, Howard. We're just making a side trip. I want to show you the sights of Chicago." So I finally got him there and everything was okay. But I remember one of the things Howard shared in his life ministry was this, and it's very significant to the topic of depending on the truth. Howard shared the story often that when he was young in life and he was married and they had many kids, he felt called of God to go into the ministry full time, and he enrolled in seminary. And so this, of course, affected the entire family. And so bills for school were high and kid expenses were high and income was low. And there was a particular morning when Howard got the family together before everybody went out in their different directions, and he said, "Family, I just got to tell you, We're out. Mom says there's no more food in the cupboard. There's nothing in the refrigerator. We're out of money. I think we need to do is just ask God for help." And so the kids started interjecting and said, "Okay, so how much are we going to ask God for?" So they came up with an amount, and I forget the reason, but they had a certain amount they felt they needed. And so they prayed together as a family, "God, would you give us this amount?" And then they had this little journal that they kept in their little living room in their apartment there at school. And they opened it up, and they would write in it prayer requests that their family would make to God so they could keep track of things. So they wrote in there the date, and they wrote in there, "God, please provide for our needs," and how much they asked God for, shut the book, had a prayer with the Lord about it, and they went on their day. Everybody went their way. Well, he's in classes all day long in seminary. Just before he leaves to go home for the end of the day and still doesn't know what he's going to do, he remembered, "Oh, that's right, I didn't check my school mailbox." That's the little mailbox on campus. I know what that is. That's where they send you the bills for school and stuff like that. So he decided to go to his mailbox, open it up, took out all his other stuff, and inside, of course, was a little envelope. It was blank. It was sealed. And it didn't say who it was from or what it was about. He opened it up, and of course, you know what was inside, don't you? The exact amount of money they had prayed for that morning. Well, Howard was thrilled. He went rushing home, got his whole family together in the living room, and he says, "Guys, guess what happened today?" He says, "You know, this morning," and he got out that journal, he says, "this morning we prayed about this, and, you know, we had nothing, and we asked God, and we agreed on how much we needed, and we asked God for that amount, and kids, I just want to show you something." He pulled out that envelope, he opened it up, the torn envelope, dumped out the money. He says, "That's the exact amount God gave us. I didn't even know it was going to happen. I didn't do it. God did it." And then he says, his youngest son said this, "So?" So he kind of went over the story again, dumped out the money again. His young son said, "So?" And then his young son said this. His youngest son said, "Dad, this morning we agreed that we needed God's help. And then we prayed for God's help. And we told God what we needed, and God gave it to us. So what are you so surprised about?" And Howard said that was one of the greatest lessons in faith he ever learned in his life, that he learned from his own son. You see, faith in God does not just hope for God's help. Faith in God depends on it. It pushes all the chips of your life across the table to God's side. And it says, "God, without you, I'm bankrupt. But with you, I'm eternally blessed." Faith depends on the truth. It was missionary Andrew Murray who put it this way, quote, "Faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation." Isn't that great? Well, next I would say another facet of faith in the Lord is that faith aligns to God's lead. It aligns to God's lead. In other words, faith is letting go. It's when our will concedes to God's will for our lives. You know what the opposite of faith is? Of course, we know. It's fear, isn't it? And faith and fear cannot coexist. It's like trying to mix light with darkness. They are direct corollary opposites. And in the spiritual realm, you will either live in faith or in fear. Now you say, well, Mark, I don't feel so fearful today. But understand that fear reveals itself in many forms. Fear reveals itself in our lives in anxiety. Fear reveals itself in our lives in worry. Fear can reveal itself in our life in anger. And fear can reveal itself in our lives in doubt. Faith in the Lord, on the other hand, manifests itself in our lives in peace. It manifests itself in joy. It manifests itself in love. And oftentimes, faith reveals itself in our life through worship, even as we are going through the tough stuff of life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." That's a mistake. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." In other words, we're to get on board with God and release our life course to him, believing that he has the best plan for us. I remember the time, I don't remember the particular day, but I remember the season of my life where I finally got into my head, God knows what's better for me than I do. And instead of telling God what to do, I started asking to do what he would do in and through my life. You see, God saves us from our sins when we accept Jesus into our life. But then what? Then what? Well, the answer is found in 2 Timothy 1:9. It says God saves us, and then what? He calls us with a holy calling. Do you know there's a holy calling on your life? And the only way to see it realized in Christ is by engaging in a faith venture of trusting the Lord with your life. It was Norman Vincent Peale who said, quote, "The antidote to frustration is a calm faith." Next, I believe that the Word of God is clear that faith rises to the occasion. In other words, faith is going. It is moving. And as we go forward in faith, our future unfolds. Could it be today that you're asking God for blessing in your life, for provision in your life, but he has already asked you to step forward in some way, and that's what's holding back the good God has for you? Faith is going. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." See, we come to new life by our faith in him, and he lives within us, raising us up to his calling and his purposes. It's a new life we're called to, and he will call us. He'll call us to speak up for him. He will call us to share in his name. He will call us to be his publicly. It's interesting. One of the best quoted statements of Jesus on the topic of faith is found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move." In other words, Jesus was saying, you just need a little confidence in me implanted deep in your spirit, and everything will come into an alignment with what I call you to in life. So we need to step up when the Lord calls us forward and realize that he will help us do whatever he calls us to do. Faith rises to the occasion. Look at the examples time and time again in the Bible. Whenever God called someone to something in life for him, they had to step up. David had to pick up the stones off the ground, and he had to raise the sling and stand before the enemy of the Lord, Goliath, in order to have victory and success. How about Moses standing before Pharaoh so that he could see the children of Israel delivered from bondage? Martin Luther King said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. I like that. And then lastly, and we'll just dwell on this for just a couple of minutes before we're through, because I think this is where many of us are in our faith today who have come to know and love and follow the Lord. Faith refuses to move. It refuses to move. In other words, faith hangs on, and our lives stand the test of time. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Now, that's interesting, isn't it? What that text means, fight the good fight of faith, is that our greatest battle in life is not finances. Our greatest battle of life is not our health. Our greatest battle of life is not a relationship. Our greatest battle of life is trusting God. Trusting God. And if we can learn to trust Him, no matter our circumstance, God will fight the battles of life for us. We know there is a great man of faith in the Bible. The Old Testament speaks of Abraham, God's servant. He stood for God throughout his lifetime. Remember that God called him to leave his homeland and head out into the unknown. And I think even his own family kind of wondered, you know, does he have a screw loose? But what did he do? He picked up his tents. He got his family. He got his livestock. And out they went into the wilderness because God called him out. And he did it. He rose to the occasion, and he went out. But you see, rising up isn't enough. Now you have to refuse to move. And that's what Abraham did. He stuck with God's plan throughout his life. And what did God promise to do for Abraham? He promised to give him a great heritage. He said, "I will make you the father of many nations." And God did that. God fulfilled that commitment back to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham hung in there. Through thick and thin, he kept trusting God. So Hebrews 6, verse 15 describes this. It says, "And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." And I would submit for your approval today, believer, that the bigger the thing is that God wants to do in your life, the more you're asking Him for, the more you need to just wait and trust that He is going to come through for you. When we live for the Lord, the time will come that we will be tested. And this is true for every believer. The time is going to come when God's going to test your reliance on Him. Troubles will come knocking. Hardship will hit. Difficulties will begin to divide. And my advice to you is just stay put in Jesus. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Here's a great little quotation on this subject. It's been said, quote, "The Lord will either calm your storm or allow it to rage while He calms you." I've had both of those things happen. How about you? You know, recently, the Lord taught me a new thing about faith. I was concerned about some major things in our family's lives, and I was praying about them. And I was asking the Lord, "You sure you got that? You sure you got that? You sure you got that?" And clear as day, I felt the Lord speaking in my spirit, "I've got it, Mark, but I want to tell you something. I've always got it. And what you need to understand is this. You don't get peace from me after I've got it. You can just have peace because I've always got it." And you see, that's what faith does. It teaches us to realize we have a God greater than anything we face. We have a God greater than anything we face. And so I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Okay, so in closing today, I just want to say, no doubt you've heard about the famous Charles Blondin. Well, that is, you would have heard of him if you lived in the 1800s, as he was very well known in the 1800s. In fact, Charles Blondin rose to international fame on September the 14th of 1860. That was the day that Charles fulfilled his lifelong ambition of being the first person ever to stretch a single wire across the top of all of Niagara Falls, and then successfully, I need to add the word successfully, walk 11,000 feet, that's over a quarter mile, from one side of the falls on a single wire to the other. You know, when I say those words, Niagara Falls, that's enough to motivate me not to want to ever try it, but he tried it, and he did it. Now, history tells us that the crowd was enormous there at the falls that day to watch Charles Blondin. His promoter had done an excellent job getting the word out, and it was published in all the papers far in advance of the event. And after he walked all the way across the falls on the wire, he waved to the crowd. They cheered, "You can do it, Charles, you can do it." He walked all the way back. And then, get this, after he got all the way back on the wire, he said to his promoter, "Give me a wheelbarrow." So the promoter got him a wheelbarrow. They were doing some building or something around. Got him the wheelbarrow, and then he pushed the wheelbarrow all the way on the wire back across the falls a second time. "You did it, Charles, you did it," they were cheering. And then he said, "How many people think I can push it all the way back again?" And they cheered, "You can do it, Charles." And he said, "Okay, who wants to get in?" He could not get one person to volunteer. Okay, so in closing today, I just want to say this. You know this is coming. Here it is. God is saying to you, believer, and he's saying to me, get in. Get in the wheelbarrow. I've got a hold of it. I'll keep you on the wire of life. You'll feel the spray. You'll sense the wind in your face. You will be concerned about the heights, but I will never let you go. Get in the wheelbarrow of faith. You've watched what I can do. You've seen me from afar. When will you trust me and let me guide your life?" Get in the wheelbarrow, believer. It is the life of faith. It is the worthwhile life. It is the fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. It is the life of adventure in the Lord that you will never experience if you just talk about faith instead of experiencing it. My righteous one will live by faith. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, this is what we need to do. We need to trust you more than we ever have before. Because, Lord, I know on the sunny days it works. But, Lord, when the storms come and when the bills are due and when the difficulties in relationship pop up and all the rest, Lord, then it's tough. But, Lord, you were out in the middle of the sea with the disciples in the boat when the storm raged. And you fed the 5,000 when there was almost no food at all. So, Lord, how could we ever think that you're not enough? Forgive us, we pray, for wanting to take back the control of our lives, thinking we know what's best. Help us, Lord, to trust you, even when we think you're asleep at the wheel. And help us, Lord, to depend fully on you, to rise up to every opportunity you present before us. And then, Lord God, to refuse to move when we are standing in faith for you. Lord, I pray for the one in affliction today. I pray for the one in suffering at this moment. I pray for the one who is experiencing hurt. Help us, Lord, to just give it all into your hands now. And to say, we trust you with it, Lord. And to step back and to just rely on you. Lord, we worship you, we thank you in advance, and we receive your peace and blessing, even as you work in every matter that concerns us. Now, if you're listening to my voice and you're not sure you've ever invited Jesus in your life, the Bible says God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead to show that the price of sin was paid and that you can live with him forever in heaven. And so if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, but because God loves you so much he gave his only son to die for you. And so if you need to invite Jesus in your life today, or maybe you've been wandering from the Lord and you're not quite sure where you stand with him today, why don't you pray to recommit your life to the Lord right now? Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe you're God's only son, that you died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead so I can live with you forever in heaven. Please forgive me of everything and come into my life right now. I'm willing to give up my old ways to live for you." And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Would you stand with me? We'll close. As you're standing, if you'd like prayer today, just come on forward at the end of service. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe it's for somebody you know or someone you're concerned about. Hang around, meet somebody new. Across the hall in the family room, we've got some refreshments for you. And meet somebody new. Ask them what they did this summer. And if they were here in the valley this summer, just say, "I'm sorry." Yeah, I'm sorry. Now, may God bless you. May he keep you. May God make his face shine on you. May God be generous to you and give you his peace. And may you find in him all the hope you were ever looking for. Amen.